Welcome to the Rooted Moms Podcast, a space where we encourage and equip you on your journey to becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ. Together, we'll unpack a relatable, real mom life topic in the light of biblical truth. While motherhood may be complicated, we believe growing in your faith doesn't have to be. So let's open up our hearts as we dive into today's podcast with your host, Brittany Marlowe.
Welcome to the Rooted Moms Podcast. I'm Brittany Marlowe, your host, and I'm so excited to have Lynette Beatty with me today. We will be talking about her book, Waiting Well, Caring for Your Heart While You Wait, and I'm so excited to have her speak on this subject. I think this is just something that resonates with everyone, especially moms. So if you'll go ahead and introduce yourself for us, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. As Brittany said, my name is Lynette. I've got four amazing kiddos. My oldest is 12, my youngest is 5, and we are a loud and crazy bunch with a little bit of chaos thrown in there and a whole lot of love and even more Jesus. So wow. I'm excited to be a part of what God's doing here.
Yes, I love that. Yes, I have three girls as well, and our house is pure chaos. It's love and joy, but it is chaos. It's fun right now, but chaos.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell us what Waiting Well is about.
Sure. So Waiting Well was actually written in a season that was really difficult. Like I mentioned, my youngest is 5, but when I wrote the book, she was less than 6 months old. We had moved to South Carolina from Ohio, left everybody that we knew, left our entire family. I had the three oldest children. And when we moved here, we moved in July and our entire lives fell apart by October. My husband was basically gone. I was pregnant. it was wild and crazy. And as I just began to press into the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I am in utter despair. And he said, wait for me, just wait. And I'm like, what does that mean? I don't know how to wait in this kind of situation.
Yeah.
And so, I had been wanting to write a book for probably 3 or 4 years before that. Mm-hmm. And I could feel it stirring in my heart. And, by the time Judah Rose was born the following, October, the Lord said, okay, so in the next 3 months, I want you to start waking up at 4:30 and I will dictate and you will write. And I was like, that sounds awesome. I'm awake anyway, because I've got a newborn. And so I would literally roll out of the bed, nurse Judah, and mm-hmm. sit down at the computer and just write. And then we would write and he would talk for a half hour and I would roll back in the bed, go back to sleep. For a little while until it was time to get everybody up from school. So Waiting Well is really about, how do we care for our hearts in seasons of disappointment and challenge? How do we care for our hearts and not lose our trust in the Father when things are hard? So that's what Waiting Well is about.
Oh, that's so good. What a challenge, number one, for God to tell you, just wait for me. And you're like, okay, this is a hard season. What am I waiting for? How long am I waiting? I feel like that's everybody's question. How long am I going to wait? And then to say, okay, you're going to wake up at this time and I'm going to speak to you and you're going to write. And for you to be so obedient in such a difficult season is so amazing. So how do we stay connected to the Father during a season like that?
That is a great question. And some days I did it really well. And some mm-hmm. days I really stunk at it. I mean, there were times when during that season, before Judah was born, there were times during that season where I would drag myself out of the bed mm-hmm. to take the children, my oldest son, I would take him to school. And then I had, at the time he was 5.
Oh, wow.
And I had a 3-year-old and mm-hmm. a 2-year-old. And okay. I would roll out of the bed and I would be like, okay, Lord, you have got to give me enough just to get them to school mm-hmm. and sitting down in front of PBS kids. and he would, and then I would crawl back in the bed and I would be like, I don't know how to live right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to live.
Yeah.
And he would say, turn on the Psalms. You're not the only one who's ever felt like this. Yeah. And I would listen to David lament, and I would listen to him talk about how hard his heart was just broken and in pieces. And then by the end of those Psalms, he would say, and yet I will praise him. Or mm-hmm. he would say, I know he will not leave me. I mean, you know, like phrases like that.
Yeah.
Those who hope in the Lord are never disappointed. Those who hope in the Lord are never put to shame. Those who wait for him, they'll mount up with wings like eagles. And so I'm laying in the bed, listening to the Psalms, listening to Isaiah, listening to all this heartbreak and despair. And the Lord would say, this is how you wait for me. This is how you stay connected to my heart, even when it hurts. Mm-hmm. You ask me to come sit with you. Oh, in the suffering.
Oh, good.
You ask me to come sit with you, and I'm not going to take it away.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the Western church, we are so used to asking God to remove the suffering that we miss the fellowship that Paul talks about. Paul said, there is a fellowship when you suffer with the Lord. You don't suffer on your own. That's the only way that we can stay connected to the heart of the Father, is that we ask Jesus, who knows all about suffering,
mm-hmm.
we ask him to come sit with us. Show us the Father. Show us the Father. Help us to hear only what he's saying. Help us to do only what he's doing. Help us to only see him. Jesus, would you come and sit with me in the suffering and fellowship with me in it? And that's how I didn't lose heart. That's how I was able to stay connected to the Father. And this is now, I'm in a different season, a season of restoration. But that mm-hmm. season was tough. But the Lord, oh my goodness, there was such sweet fellowship with Jesus in that. I would not, every tear that was shed, I wouldn't want it back.
Mm-hmm.
I would not trade that for anything in the world.
I think it's so hard to remember sometimes when we're in such a season of sorrow or waiting that we're doing it alone, and we don't mm-hmm. ever have to do it alone. Yeah. And yeah. when we invite him to sit with us like that, you just get this unimaginable peace. You know, not that it's going to take away any of your troubles, or Absolutely. That there are going to be days when it doesn't feel hard, but mm-hmm. you just have this peace, like knowing, you know, he's never going to leave me. He's never yes. going to forsake me. He's, yes. you know, he's going to pull me out of this sometime. I don't know when, but I will, you know, I will get to a season of restoration. And then there may be another season of sorrow. There will always be another season of sorrow, I feel like, but mm-hmm. it's so encouraging to, you know, come out of those seasons and feel like, okay, if I ever get back to that place, I know that he's with me.
Yes, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
How were you able to deal with the hearts of others while you were busy writing, nursing, and finding your way?
Yeah. So years ago, oh my gosh, probably 10 years ago now, we had, I had a pastor in Ohio, and he would, he asked me this question one time. He said, Lynette, how's your heart? And I was like, I don't know. What does that mean? I don't. And this is before self-care was really popular, you know, like mm-hmm. all of those kinds of things. So I'm like, I don't even know. I don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah.
And so I began letting the Holy Spirit ask me that question on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You're excited. How's your heart? Because your heart is not necessarily your emotions.
Right.
You know, the Bible talks about guarding your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. So it can't just be my emotions. It's mm-hmm. got to be a deeper place, this deep well of not only emotions, but this deep well of connection with the Lord. So mm-hmm. how's your connection with the Lord? How's your connection with yourself? How's your connection with others? So that's what that question began to mean to me. So mm-hmm. then, I began asking my friends on a regular basis, hey, how's your heart? And I'd get the same blank stare that I gave Pastor Mark all those years ago.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, I don't know how my heart is. And so then we'd have these kinds of discussions. Okay, so your heart is kind of like this, and it feels like this. And this is where you're rooted. This is where you're grounded. This is the mm-hmm. well of living water that should be springing up out of you. Your heart is like a well. How's that well doing? What's in there? And so then we talk about, well, I'm feeling disconnected, and I'm feeling angry, and I'm feeling bitter, and this is why, and I'm feeling disconnected from the Lord. Okay. So there's some debris in the well of your heart. How do we get that out? And so I would ask my friends these questions, and we would work through it together. And then, as my children began to grow, I began to ask them, especially when we were in that really tough season. Hey mm-hmm. guys, how's your heart? And mommy, you know, my heart feels one day, you know, my son was like, mommy, sometimes I feel like I live in a sandwich. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, there's stuff above me and there's stuff beneath me and I'm stuck in the middle of it.
Oh,
awesome. So where's Jesus in the sandwich? You know, are you connected to Jesus while you're in the sandwich, you know, and is it pressing down on you? Or does it feel like you can rest in that place, you know? And so just beginning to ask good questions. And so those were some of the things that really helped. In fact, in the book is fairly short because, I mean, when you're nursing babies and you're trying to like survive, who's got time to read, you know, like a 500 page dissertation on how to care for your heart. Right. So the chapters are super short. And at the end of every chapter, there are questions that say, how's your heart? And it gives you some, a pathway to go through, to check in with the Holy Spirit and to check in with yourself. So just learning to ask that question of myself. And sometimes when you're not able to answer how your heart is, you can ask the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And one really fantastic mentor that I have, she's really great at helping moms go through those questions and really awesome at teaching moms when you don't know how you feel. You can ask Jesus, you can ask the Holy Spirit, can you shine your flashlight on my heart and show me what's really going on in there? So for those of y'all who are listening and watching, check out Lisa Max with Let the Children Fly. She's got an amazing resource to kind of be coupled with what's happening with Rooted Moms and Keeping Moms in the Word. Mm-hmm. She helps moms learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit and check in with their own hearts. So they're not giving water from a broken cistern. Instead, they're digging deep into the well of their hearts and sending what's flowing out from the Holy Spirit. So learning how to take care of their hearts and the hearts of their kids.
That's so good. I feel like, you know, when you ask your friends, how are you? They're like, oh, good, fine. And everybody glosses over that question. It's so easy to, in the chaos of life and kids, to just gloss over that question. But when you ask them, you know, how's your heart? It at least stops them. You know, like you said, you get that stare like, beating? I don't know. Yeah, it's in there. But what a great time to be able to connect with a friend and bring the Holy Spirit into that friendship with you and to connect on such a deeper level. And to take that time as a mom, you know, to connect with yourself. Like you were saying earlier, you know, back in the day when self-care wasn't a thing and now it's praised. And for moms who want to be rooted in Christ, that self-care should look like checking in with your heart and checking in with the Holy Spirit and having that, you know, relationship and that friendship. Mm-hmm. So how can we practically apply this in our busy, chaotic day?
Yeah, great question. Because some days I'm like, I don't even remember if I brushed my teeth this morning, right? Because it's so crazy. So one of the things that me and the kids like to do, even the big 12-year-old boy who is now taller than I am.
Oh, gosh.
We have learned one of the things that we'll do, we'll turn on crazy music, like, I don't know, Lecrae or, I can't remember the other guy's name. Whatever, but we'll turn on like a gospel hip hop artist, or we'll turn a Toby Mac or something like that. And I will let them just dance until, you know, everybody's being crazy. Mom's being crazy. And that helps with connection. And then I'll turn it off and I'll say F O B, which is flat on backs. And everybody will drop down like a fish out of water, including mama.
Yeah.
And then we'll turn on some slower, more contemplative music that's instrumental. And then we'll do some deep breaths.
I love
that. And we'll say, okay, so we're going to breathe in the Holy Spirit, you know? And it's just a way to help them connect and think of, okay, I can slow myself down. I can slow my body down. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine with my Holy Spirit imagination that I'm breathing in the breath of God. And when I breathe out, I'm breathing out all the yucky stuff, all the stuff that hinders my connection with mom, with my siblings, all the stuff that hinders my connection with Father God, I'm going to breathe in the Holy Spirit. He's going to help me push out all the yucky stuff when I breathe up. And so we'll probably just spend 5 minutes doing that. It's not super long, right?
Yeah.
But we do that. And then it's like, okay, we got this, guys. Like, we can go on. We can go on. We can finish bedtime without screaming and hollering. We can do bedtime without, you know, the mobster coming out. You
know what I mean? Yes, I'm doing that tonight.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so it's super simple and it makes it fun for them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it helps us to just apply a little bit of that, just a little bit of connection, a little bit of checking in with your heart. And sometimes when we're done, the kids will say, you know, mommy, can we talk? Or mommy, this really hurt. This really made me feel sad today at school.
Mm.
Another way that we really practice caring for our hearts, as soon as the kids hop in the car from school, I'll say, okay, what was your rose for the day? And they'll share something that made them smile or something that was beautiful or something that they noticed. And then I'll say, what was your thorn? Oh, you know, so-and-so was mean to me on the playground, or there were no more cookies at lunch, or whatever. But sometimes it's something deeper for my middle schooler. Sometimes it's a little bit deeper. And then I'll say, what was your rosebud? What can you look forward to?
Oh,
so these are all
good.
Ways. Yeah. Right. So these are all ways that help us connect with Holy Spirit. These are all ways that help us just check in with our hearts. And we're doing this on the 30 minutes it takes us to drive home from school. Right. I mean, it's not, you know, we're not spending hours and hours doing this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like as moms, we feel like we need to, okay, we've got to sit down. We've got to take an hour. We've got to do a devotional. We've got to read, you know, we've got to read the Bible to be, you know, and a lot in a busy weekday on a Wednesday, when you get out of school and you've got, I don't know, gymnastics, you need to go to the grocery store. You need to cook dinner. You need to take a bath. You need to get them ready for bed. You need to do homework. That's an easy, practical way to check in with them, but to also have them and yourself take a deep breath and relax and check in with God. And I feel like how you explained the breathing, laying on your back, breathing in the Holy Spirit, breathing out all the yuckies, that is such a visual thing. I mean, visual for kids. My kids love stuff like that. But for me, like, I need some, you know, visual. Mm-hmm. Okay, I am breathing out this bad energy. And mm-hmm. we're going to get up and we're going to finish bedtime with a grateful, happy heart and not mobster coming out. Like, get in the bed.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yes. And I like the idea of the rosebud. Having them think about, you know, well, what are you looking forward to the next day? And then when they're going about their day the next day, they can think about that and look for, you know, what are you looking forward to the next day? And where do you see Jesus in that? And then just having them to connect that the next day, they're looking for Jesus in their day.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So good. So how do you maintain your purpose even in a season of a reset? I feel like that's really hard.
It is really hard. And one thing I've had to remind myself over and over and over again over the last, okay, hold on. My son is 12. So over the last 13 years, I remember, often I'll have opportunities to do retreats or to do things with women in churches and things like that. And I remember leaving South Africa and I was in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing there and I just knew in my heart that it would be a long time before I would get to travel again, before I would get to do any of the things that I felt like made my heart sing.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't necessarily be able to teach. I wouldn't necessarily be able to preach or do women's retreats or any of those things. And I remember feeling such grief in the airport when the Holy Spirit put that on my heart.
Yeah.
And I was like, what am I supposed to do? Because I feel like that's my purpose.
Yeah.
And so then for the next 13 years, right? I mean, when I got back from South Africa, I got pregnant and then I got pregnant again. And then, you know, we just, life happened, right? I mean, I wasn't a young married woman anymore. I was mm-hmm. a mom that had 3 and 4 kids.
Yeah.
And it felt like I just couldn't hold on to it. It was so slippery. My purpose was so slippery. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the Lord reminded me, and I talk about it in the book, is that God, our purpose is to love him. We were created to love him and to worship him and to enjoy him forever. That's our purpose. Now, he will allow us to do other things to partner with him in the kingdom, but ultimately, our purpose is to love him and to enjoy him forever. And so that is not so hard to hold on to, because I can worship him while I'm nursing a baby. I can worship him while I'm in the kitchen. I can worship him while I'm ironing, my least favorite task in the whole world. Sometimes I just throw the stuff in the dryer and I hope for the best. And my kids go to school looking like, that's right. They look like they just rolled out of bed, but you know what? They're dressed and their underwear are clean. And so that is how I can hold on to my purpose. And then when the Lord gives me an opportunity to do something that I feel like I'm wired for, then it's like, okay, now I've worshiped the Lord and all of these other ways behind closed doors. So then when I get on a stage, or when I sit down and I'm able to write a book, or I'm able to write a devotional, or whatever I'm doing, that oil has been pressed out behind closed doors. So now I am fulfilling a different part of what God's called me to do, but I've really been fulfilling purpose for the last 13 years.
Oh man.
Does that make sense?
So good. Yes, it totally makes sense. I feel like we make it so difficult. Like if we are not out serving outside of our homes, or we're not living out serving God in the way we want to, the way we feel like we should, we're doing something wrong, or that we don't have a purpose, or that we don't know who we are anymore. And it's not about that. It's about loving him daily. You can do that anywhere, anytime, with anyone. Like you said,
and then we teach our kids to do it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We make it so, so difficult. And I feel like, especially as moms, you know, you have that first baby. And I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody else, but for me, you know, I thought I was so prepared to have the baby. So prepared. And then that first baby gets here and you're like, who am I? What am I doing? I don't, like, have I brushed my teeth today? I don't even know where my pants are. You know, like you just don't know who you are anymore. And it's just about loving him and serving him where you're at. Oh, that's so good. That's such a good way just to, I think, make moms feel safe where they're at, comfortable where they're at, and that it's okay, that you will get to maybe not exactly what you were doing before, but a season of fulfilling something maybe outside of your house. But for right now, it's okay to just sit in your pile of laundry and worship that way.
Do you long for a community where you can truly connect with other Christian moms? A place where you can grow in God's word while receiving support, accountability, and encouragement? Look no further. Rooted Moms groups are online-based groups of 5 to 10 women who meet regularly for the purpose of connecting and growing in their faith. No finagling childcare or commuting required. Simply hop online from the comfort of your own home and be met with the life-giving community you've been looking for. To learn more and to find a group that works for your busy life, visit our website at rootedmoms.com/community.
Yeah. Well, and so there's this, again, my mentor, Lisa Max, she's so good at this. She helps me to understand. I thought, and I still need this, but there was such an emphasis on, you have to have a certain amount of quiet time in the morning or at night to connect with the Lord before you're able to really do anything, right? Like, you're not really doing it right if you're not sitting down with your devotional book. And so I carried a lot of shame and blame and guilt over some of those things. Again, quiet time is really important. I'm an introvert. You might not be able to tell right now, but I am. And so I need that quiet time. I need that connection time to recalibrate. But what she explained is that we have to get really good at learning to connect with the heart of our Father as daughters, even as we're being moms. And so if that means the children are sitting in the living room around my feet and they're doing whatever they're doing, I can still connect with the Lord right there. Because I'm a daughter first. I'm a daughter first. And so, yeah, it's been a wild and crazy ride, and I'm not always super fantastic at it. But what I also try to do is bring my kids in it when they're around, so that I have a captive audience, right? So if I'm learning something about Jesus, they're going to learn it too. You know why? Because I can't preach on the stage today, and so you're going to be
the living room audience. Is my stage.
That's right. So, you know, we just, again, you know, we're finding fun ways to do it, and we're laughing. And then I have an opportunity to bring them in, and they're asking questions, and then they're saying, well, I feel like Jesus is showing me this or that. And so it helps us to keep things in perspective, and to also keep first things first. Right. Yeah. And he should always be, and will always be, our first and only love. So
what a sweet way to spend your quiet time with your kids, to have that, you know. It was so, like you said, sometimes you feel this shame, like I didn't get an hour of quiet time, uninterrupted quiet time. Over here at Rooted Moms, we are all about quiet time, not actually being quiet. You know, I have had many a quiet times with a crying baby and just praying. And that's my quiet time for the day. You know, it doesn't have to be you're sitting at a table, all your pens are categorized, you're writing so pretty in your notebook, and you've got your Bible open and all the pretty tabs. And that's not what it always looks like. And that's okay. And to think of it as a sweeter time to bring, you know, such a sweeter time with Jesus, to have your kids sitting at your feet, coloring or listening, or like, mommy, what are you doing? I've had that. Mommy, what are you doing? What are you reading? Well, let me read it to you. Yeah. And it's just an easy way to bring them in and to have that time with God and to share that with them. So what chapter did you resonate with the most when you were writing your book?
Yeah. So, there's a chapter, and it's called, Replaced, Not Repaired. And it was so funny. The Lord had given me this illustration over the course of probably 12 months. And then, you know, I was able to sit down and write about it. But, my wedding ring at the time, there was a beautiful center stone, right? That center stone fell out and was lost 3 times. You want to talk about a heart attack every time. And I was like, what am I doing wrong?
Again.
I know. I was like, why is this? And so the third time, I dropped it off at the jeweler. I was on my way out to go speak somewhere. And the jeweler calls me. And the jeweler says, we can't fix your ring anymore.
Heart straight thinking.
What do you mean? I know. They said, we can't repair it. We cannot repair it. The prongs are broken, and there is something that was wrong at the very beginning with the setting. And so I was like, well, what does that mean? And the jeweler said, well, we can't repair it, but we can replace it. And I was like, but I don't want you to replace it. I want that ring.
Yeah.
Right. Man, that ring had history. Man, that ring, we were best friends. We had been through some stuff. Like, you are not going to replace my best. I mean, you can't replace my best friend. Just fix it, make it better. So I get off the phone with the jeweler, and I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Because at the same time that this is happening, my Microsoft Surface that I had gotten as a gift had done the same thing. It had gotten, it would just shut down and it would just stop working. It happened 3 times. And I was like, okay, I know that you're hitting me over the head with a 2x4 here. Yeah. What are you trying to tell me? Right.
But how great to see these like negative things and just to be like, okay, God, okay, Holy Spirit, give me your message.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of being like, poor, pitiful me, like, okay, what am I learning from this? Let's go.
Yes, right? And what the awesome thing is that when I asked Holy Spirit, I felt like what he said to me was, Lynette, you keep trying to fix things. You take it into your control and you do all the things that you think you're supposed to do. And you keep trying to repair things. What if I don't want to fix it? What if I don't want you to fix it? And what if I'm not going to fix it? What if I'm just going to say that is the end of this chapter in your life? We are going to start over.
Ooh.
Then what? What if I don't want to repair it? What if I want to replace it? And I was like,
that's scary.
It is. Scary. It is scary. There's some really cool things in that little chapter of the book, so I won't give away all the good stuff.
Yeah.
But talking it through with him and bringing my heart to him in that scary season was so helpful. And I didn't even know what he meant. Like, I didn't know what he meant. At that point, I had lots of hope for so many things. Why? Yeah. Because I thought I was fixing it. I thought I'm going to keep praying about this. I'm going to keep taking it to the jeweler and the jeweler's going to keep fixing it. And it's just going to be okay. And the reality
it'll just
is
get fixed. It'll be fine.
That's right. That's right. And the reality is that as daughters of the Most High God, there are some things he wants us to walk through the loss. He wants us to walk through the crushing. He wants us to go through the hard thing with him. So that he can bring about beauty on the other side. And sometimes you can't have that beauty. You know, the Bible says, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, right? You're not going to get something new. You're not going to get a harvest. The Bible talks about, you know, if you carry your seed out into the field and you're weeping as you're carrying the seed, that seed's got to go on the ground. You're not going to see anything come out of it for a while, but your tears are what is watering that seed, right? Oh. Your trust in the Lord is what's watering that seed. And so then the Bible says, if you carry your seed out to sow and tears are going with it, what'll happen is you'll reap a harvest and you'll have bundles and you'll come back with joy. But we don't want to go through the other part, right?
Can I just use a watering can? Do I have to use my own tears?
I know, right? Exactly. Exactly. So, but the beauty, there's just such beauty in that. And again, this was when the Lord first gave me that analogy of being replaced, but not repaired. We had gone through hard stuff in our family. You know, we lost a baby and I mean, you know, all of these kinds of things.
Yeah.
But we hadn't moved to South Carolina.
Yeah.
I had no idea
yeah.
what was really
He's
ahead of us.
Preparing you for that.
Yeah, that's right. Within months. I mean, the Lord showed me that in May. We left in July.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was
wild.
What
a gracious God to want to prepare the way for us, want to prepare our heart beforehand. I think a lot of times he gives us something and we're like, okay, what do I do with this right now? What does this mean for me right now?
Yes.
And it's usually preparing our way for something else. But what a beautiful visual that you have, you know, given us of planting a seed and, you know, your tears are what water it. Out of sorrow comes joy. And that's just what God gives us every single day. Out of sorrow comes joy. So how do we keep a tender heart even while you're waiting for your heart to mend?
That's a great question. One word, forgiveness. Forgiveness. I had a very good friend, actually a friend that I met when I was in South Africa, to bring our story full circle. And I remember calling her on the phone the first time my life started to fall apart. And she said to me, she said, Lynette, start forgiving. Forgive everybody as many times as you need to forgive them. And I'm like, wait a minute. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it. I mean, I feel like that's an unreasonable request at this point in my life. Or like, that's not really fair.
I feel like a lot of times you think like they don't deserve it. That's like they don't deserve this forgiveness.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I was just like, I feel justified.
Yeah.
Justified.
Yeah.
in my anger.
Yeah.
I feel justified in how I feel right now. Mm-hmm. And again, she was like, it doesn't matter. Forgive anyway. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. Just like love is a choice and it's not a feeling. And so the more I forgave, and I mean, I was forgiving everybody, honey. I was forgiving my mama. I was forgiving my daddy. I was like, y'all ain't even involved in what's happening right now, but I'm going to forgive you anyway, because somebody promised me I'd get freedom if I forgave. So I'm going to just forgive everybody.
I forgive you and you and you and you and you.
That's right. And you get forgiveness.
Yes.
You get forgiveness. I mean, it was crazy. But it helped my heart not become hard.
Mm-hmm.
And there were places, I'm going to tell you, there were places where the Lord, even now, several years later, where the Lord will be like, you need to go back and go through it again. You need to go back and forgive again.
Oh.
And I'm like, but I thought we were done with that. He's like, you were done with what I showed you at the time. And I'm going to show you something different about your heart. And I want you to bring it to me. And we're going to walk through forgiveness again. And it's not only just the situation, you know, that I experienced personally. I had to forgive on behalf of my children for what I saw them go through.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because as a mama, you don't want to see your babies get hurt. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see, you know, you don't want to see them crying and their hurt hearts broken. Forget about your own heart. You could be filleted on the ground. Don't mess with my babies.
Right.
And so then I had to go through that. And then it was like forgiveness for what could have been, but wasn't. Not just what happened.
Yeah.
But what I could have had in my life. And now I feel like that thing has been robbed from me.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be any number of things for any number of women, right? I mean, moms who have children now who are maybe struggling with infertility, or, you know, moms who have had miscarriages, or moms who have adult kids who are going through really hard things,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe you've got kids who aren't making good choices. And so, you know, it's not just about things that happen between spouses and things like that. All of the areas of our life, when we choose to forgive, it really does unlock us and uproot us from bitterness and resentment and all of the things. And we just have to keep doing it.
Right.
By the grace of God and by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we just have to keep doing it as often as the Holy Spirit brings it. Just keep doing it as an act of our will.
Mm-hmm. I heard something sometime. I don't even know where I heard it. But you know, forgiveness is so much more for you than it is for the other person. The other person might not even know that you're mad or upset, or they really just don't care. It's for you.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said earlier, like, ooh, but they don't deserve it. But we do.
Mm-hmm.
We deserve the feeling of being free after we've dropped that hurt and anger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And oh gosh, to feel like you've already forgiven somebody and for God to say, hey, we're going to do it again because you're in a new season. What an even more difficult thing to do.
It is. It really is. A friend of mine, we were talking the other day, and she said, Lynette, she said, you know, forgive. You can tell when you've truly forgiven, when you see that person or you hear that person's voice or you see their name and you don't have any emotion at all. You're not angry. You're not hurt. There's no twinge. There's nothing. There's nothing. You have complete and total shalom. Complete and total peace.
Right? A gift to have that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
God gives us these things that we're like, this is too hard. This doesn't feel good to tell this person that I'm sorry, even when I'm not, but to have that peace afterwards. Oh, what a gift. So as we're coming to the end of our amazing conversation, what do you want this community to know about waiting? What can you tell these moms or dads, anybody listening to this today, what can you tell them about waiting? What do you want them to really get out of this?
Sure. So two things. One, wait is not a four-letter word. Wait is not a four-letter word. The word wait is pregnant with so many possibilities and so many different adventures and experiences with the Lord. And it also might have some suffering in there.
Yeah.
But while you're waiting, make sure you're waiting well And the way you're doing that is you're checking in with the Holy Spirit. You're taking care of your heart, and not in the sense that when we talk about self-care, taking care of your heart means that you're taking your heart to the Father, the one who created it. And you're sitting with him and you're letting him minister hope and healing to your heart as a dad. The other thing is that one of the scriptures that I hung on to then and I hang on to now is Hosea 2:15. It says that I will turn the valley of Achor into a door of hope. The Valley of Achor was a nasty place. I don't know if y'all know about the Valley of Achor, but it was a place where this guy in the Old Testament, Achan, he was put to death there because he was disobedient, and his disobedience caused Joshua and God's people to lose a battle. It was a huge deal because he had idols in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord, who was an angry dad, he was a mad dad at the time, he's like, look, take this brother outside the camp and we have to do business with him and his idols. So even when we have idols in our hearts that cause the pain, that cause the torment, that cause the things that we're experiencing because they're negative consequences of our own actions, even not just the actions of other people, that if we let him, if we carry our hearts to him and allow him to care for our hearts, to take out the debris out of that well and make it into a well of living water, he will turn that valley of Achor into a beautiful door of hope where there is living water flowing from the well of our hearts.
Oh, what a beautiful picture. Like I said, I'm a visual person, but what a beautiful picture that you have just painted for us about waiting. Like I said at the beginning, like waiting just feels like such a negative term, and it doesn't have to be when you're doing it with Jesus, when you're doing it with the Father. Thank you so much for coming on today. I highly, highly encourage everybody listening to this podcast to read Lonette's book. Because whether you're going through a period like we've been talking about right now, you will be. I feel like we're always kind of in a period of waiting somehow. But as we wrap up, will you pray over us today?
Yes, I would love to. I would love to. All right, let's pray. Father God, you are the best dad ever. Thank you for all the ways that you scoop us up into your arms and you settle us when we're upset, and you remind us of your love, and you sing over us and you dance over us and you sing your song of deliverance. Jesus, thank you for all the ways that you show us what it looks like to love well and to wait well. You even waited for the Father on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are the best teacher ever. You are our instructor and our guide. You are the one who sanctifies us and helps us to look like Jesus. So holy and victorious Trinity, we ask for you, living God, to breathe on these mommies and these daddies, these men and these women, these daughters and these sons. Would you help us, give us grace to wait? Give us grace to wait well. Help us to see you and to hear you and to feel your presence. Would you turn this valley of Achor for many of them, for all of them, into a door of hope, where hope is springing up eternal, where out of their bellies and out of their hearts are flowing rivers of living water that will shift and change a generation of children that they are raising. May their children and their children's children be able to turn around and see them and say, this is the Lord's work and it is marvelous in our eyes. May they see the fruit of submitting to a season of waiting well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining me, Lonette. It's been such a pleasure talking to you today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being a part of the Rooted Moms podcast today. We would love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram. Find us there by searching Rooted Moms. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button below so you never miss an episode. Buddha Moms provides practical tools, community, and encouragement that equip moms to become rooted in Christ. Connect with us and learn more at www.rootedmoms.com. We'll see you next time.